plagued a potential nugget.
And one of the skills that I think clearly politicians have in abundance is this notion of influencing an ecosystem, right? When you have an idea, for example, you spoke about moving from an idea around legislation around people who have a criminal background not
to get disqualified.
Again, in business, clearly a lot more is getting done through the let's say interconnectedness of the ecosystems, right? Much more than before. Earlier, one could argue the business value chain was relatively linear. Now it looks a lot more enmeshed. So talk to us a little bit about how you think about influencing. Maybe if you take a specific example, how does an idea move from something in your head to something that's legislated?
Well, you know, that idea about disqualifying convicted legislators didn't happen through the sphere of politics. Even though I championed it and one or two others did, it did not get traction. But it was a Supreme Court ruling that made it happen. So it came from, it was an externality in that sense. We have many other such examples where the legislators and parliament have let the country down. You know, go back 20 years when the courts again imposed natural gas for public transportation in Delhi. It should have been a political decision, an administrative decision, because of the pollution that we were facing. But even today, after much more pollution, we are still struggling to take administrative decisions because of populism, because of trying to pander to every section of society. And that's a fact of the particular kind of political structure that we have. Whereas in many other countries, even if you don't have everybody on board, but you have a kind of majority on board, then you can push through political ideas. That again is related to the idea of reforming our political structures, our parliament, and how decision making happens. But to take an idea and spin it and to get it to get traction, communication skills are extremely important. And also it is important to suss out the public mood and try to latch on to an idea which is ripe, because advocating an idea that is far ahead of its time is not going to get that much traction. But advocating an idea that is only slightly ahead of its time may be the right way of doing it, because then the public may be just about getting ready for it, and you're advocating it or communicating competently about it then takes it over that hurdle, and it gets huge traction.
And how do you get that pulse?
Now that is a critical political skill, to be able to have feedback. Now you'll notice every time you ask a politician of any party, they'll always say they're doing very well. They'll never say they're doing badly, or very rarely will they say they're doing badly. Particularly at any election campaign, you ask the spokespersons of any party and they'll all claim they're winning. Now, that's an external face. But internally, the good politicians have a very good grasp of where they stand. I have seen this among the most successful politicians. They may externally be saying anything, but internally, they have a very clear grasp of reality. And they know pretty much how they are doing, whether they're doing well or badly, or well in certain areas and badly in certain areas. So that feedback loop has to be very good if you are to succeed in politics.
And what is it about the channels that you need to have in place to have an objective and an effective feedback loop?
So that's also a great question, because we earlier talked about how politics rewards loyalty above all else, above competence. So you have a lot of sycophants in politics, and some parties more than others, but yes, you do. So sycophants are never going to always give you the right information. They'll give you information that you want to hear. You must have your own system of bypassing that. So I find that even politicians who are surrounded by a lot of sycophants, some of them do recognize that, you know, they have that ecosystem just because they need loyalists to entrench their hold on power. But they don't rely on them for getting the feedback loop. They get the feedback loop from other sources. And if you don't, then you are doomed to do badly in the next cycle.
And other sources would be things like?
It could be journalists. It could be people on the ground that you know. It could be somebody several levels lower down on the chain of command whom you directly speak to. So, for example, I'll make it a point because I meet with so many thousands of people in the constituency. And I have an open channel. People can send me messages on instant messaging platforms and on social media. So I get a sense for what people are talking about. And if I get a message or a series of messages that runs counter to what my closest people are telling me, then I will cross-check and I will try to have it vetted as to what the reality is. What are people really saying? What are people really thinking? What is the factual condition, situation?
Got it.
Two takeaways for me here. The first was the point that influencing is so much about listening, much less about speaking effectively. Jay talks about having a pulse of whether your idea is market ready or slightly ahead of the public sentiment before you really push for it. I've seen effective CEOs who lead teams with extremely bright CXOs walking the tightrope of democracy and decisiveness really well. They initially let the team engage on a few ideas and bounce around chaotically a little bit, but once they get a drift of where the pulse of the group is, they quickly maneuver the group forward towards an outcome. The key point being listening intently to where the group pulse is. The second takeaway was the point Jay makes about having your own feedback loops across the chain. Several leaders in the corporate world struggle to do this. And the key point here is that you need to do this without disempowering your chain of command. Several leaders take a black and white approach to say, "I don't want my team to feel that I'm interfering in their business." But the really tactful ones find an informal way of tapping into the sentiment of people across the chain without really challenging the authority of your team members. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the podcast and want to get a sense of the nature of content that is covered, you might want to go to YouTube and type Play to Potential Highlights from 2017. I've tried to capture the key takeaways from my various conversations last year with leaders across disciplines, from people such as Zia Modi, Nandan Nilekani, Vishy Anand, Vijay Amritraj, Amish Tripathi, Vinita Bali, Rama Bijapurkar, and the like. For more, please visit playtopotential.com, where the content is organized by nuggets and they are tagged by themes so that you could get perspectives from multiple individuals on a topic that you care about. If you want to listen offline, say during a car ride home or during airplane travel, you could also access the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Savan, and several other podcast apps. But that might not give you the flexibility to navigate across speakers by theme. If you find the content purposeful, please go to iTunes, rate and review. It'll help other people discover it. Thank you for listening.